Okay, today's daf is Shkalim, daf Dalet, and we are on Gimel Amud Beis, says the Mishnah, towards the bottom. Just one ha'ara I forgot to mention yesterday, and that is, the Mishnah said on yesterday's daf that we do not, even if Kohanim are allowed to give to the Machzaz HaShekel, we do not force them by turns of taking their Nechasim. Ein Mamashkin in Osam, because of why Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom, that's what the Mishnah said. And what does that mean? The Gemara had said, Derech HaKavod. What does Derech HaKavod mean? So the Tiklin Chalitin, the Rav Shlomo Mishklov quoted two issues. Number one, there's a mitzvah asei daraisa to give kavod to the Kohanim. So, you know, this is kind of undermining that kavod that we should give them. And imishumsha avodas hakarbanos aleihem, or the avoda the karbanos is upon them. So if they have to do the avoda, so we're going to force them having something to do with the avoda, so it's inappropriate. But that is an example of Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom is a concept that comes up in many areas in halacha, just to mention a few of them. The most one of the most common Darkei Shalom is also about Kohanim, but not in this context. This is one Darkei Shalom context, and that is in terms of not forcing them to give a mashkon for the Machzor Shekel. But the other Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, Darkei Shalom, that if there's a lot of people in shul, like on Shabbos and Yontif, and Kohanim really can be mochal on their kavod, and give other people the aliyos, the Gemara says, no, Darkei Shalom, you're going to cause fights. Let the Kohen get the first aliyah. Let the Levi get the second aliyah. They shouldn't be mochel, says the Gemara, because of Darkei Shalom. And the poskim say, bisman hazeh, that even applies on Mondays and Thursdays, when we have plenty of people in shul. Kohanim are not supposed to be mochel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Another poskim, can they, if there's a specific situation, let's say there are 3 yard sites in shul, and it's a Monday, and everybody wants an aliyah. So is the Kohen allowed to be mochel? Does he have to go out before the Gabbai calls up? Different shuls have different minhagim in terms of what they allow and what they not allow, but at root, the issue is Darkei Shalom. That is one whole area where we have Darkei Shalom. We also have Darkei Shalom in terms of chshad. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, I'm sorry, it's about Eruv, but the Mishnah is in Gittin. All these examples are the fifth paragraph of Maseches Gittin, where we have all the takanas of Darkei Shalom. Bayis regilum lahaniach bo ha'eruv shal Eruv Chaseros. The bayis, the house that usually you put the matzahs in for Eruv Chaseros, you should always leave it in that house. Don't change the house. Darkei Shalom. People will think there's something wrong, people will think there's no Eruv. Also, Darkei Shalom in general terms, so people don't think anything wrong about someone else. Darkei Shalom is also a concept. There's a lot of nice summary of this in the Encyclopedia Talmudis under Darkei Shalom in Dine Mamonis. Dine Mamonis, where do you have Darkei Shalom? If you have a net, somebody puts out a net, and they catch animals in the net. So is somebody else allowed to go and take the animals out of the net? It's not their chutzner, it's in the middle of the forest. No, you can't, Darkei Shalom. If a katan picks something up, a katan is a lot of our kinyan daraisa. But Mishum Darkei Shalom, don't grab something from the katan. On a daraisa level, you're violating Vatzal Recha Kamocha, that's for sure. But are you violating an issur of gezel? So on a daraisa level, no. But on a drabana level, Mishum Darkei Shalom, one shouldn't take it. And there are many other examples of Darkei Shalom, including our relationships with the Umos Ha'olam, with the other nations, Shoalim Bishlom Goyim, V'chulu Darkei Shalom, related to Eva as well. But Darkei Shalom is a big topic, but we have it right here in the Mishnah, in Maseches Shkalim, explained by the Gemara as not forcing the Kohanim to give towards the Machzor HaShekel. Well, we encourage them, but we are not mamashkin them because of Derech HaKavod. Okay, now let's get back to our daf. Says the Mishnah, Afa Bisha Amru, Ein Mamashkidin, on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Nashim Bavadim Uktanim, even though we say that we do not take a mashkon, we don't take a shibud from Nashim Bavadim Uktanim, Avalim Shaklu Makablin Miyadan. But if they gave, women don't have to give Machzor HaShekel. If they give anyway, voluntarily, you accept it. Even though, as we said yesterday's daf, even though we conduct the census with Machzor HaShekel, but we differentiate because of the other reason Machzor HaShekel to have money for the Karbanos Sibur. And therefore, even somebody who is Pater, an Eved, a Katan, if they give, we do accept it from them. Why is a woman Pater for Machzor HaShekel? Why is she Pater? Says the Meiri right here, Zman Groma. Zman Groma, right? They announce it from the beginning of Adar for the next month, so it's a Zman Groma. That's the suggestion of the Meiri. But it's not in Chazal, not one of the examples usually given. The Bar Tanura right here on our Mishnah says, maybe it's because it says in the beginning of Kisisa, Ish Kofer Nafsho. Ish Velo Isha. Again, but the Gemara fascinatingly doesn't say. There's no drasha in the Gemara excluding women, which makes it seem like the Meiri's right. It must fit into some other general rule without having to specify. But related to this issue of women is a fascinating discussion. We had a shiur on this a number of years ago. Again, this maybe next week we'll talk about this in a Daf Pe'in shiur, and that is, if women are pturos from machzor shekel, does that have any nafkamina in terms of tfilas musaf? Tfilas musaf, why? Because as we know, the other tfilos, shachris menchad mayriv, as the Gemara and Brachas calls them, they're rachamininu. There's an element of asking for achmanas, and everybody has to do that, men and women. Even if they're time-bound on a drabana level, but they're rachamim on a daraisa level, and therefore women are obligated. What about musaf? Musaf is not rachamininu. Musaf is totally keneged the karban. Suggests Rabbi Kiva Eger in a tshuva, and the tshuva is besamim rosh, which we thought was the rush, but we later realized it wasn't the rush. But there are a number of achronim that say women do not have to daven musaf. Why? Because of our Mishnah. That women are paturas from achzas shekel. And musaf is totally keneged the carbon tamid, which is given from the machzas shekel, like all karbanos sibur are given. And women are paturas from contributing to the machzas shekel, therefore they're paturas from carbon musaf as well. That is the shita of Rabbi Kiva Eger and the tshuva in Siman Tes, and the shita of the Besamim Rosh. The big problem, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes this in a tshuva, he says, L'chora nireh, denashim peturas b'tfilas musuf, kiva denashim lo hayu shoklos, elam chelip b'karbanos sibur, v'kach masha b'tshuvas Besamim Rosh. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Ask the achronim after sins over the past 250 years, everybody who's pater for Machzor Shekel is pater for Musaf. Kohanim and Leviyah, according to the Shitas, Machlokas, we learned yesterday, whether Kohanim or Chayiv in Machzor Shekel. Kohanim can leave after Kriyas HaTorah. They don't have to daven Musaf. Of course not. So what's it? Well, if women are pater, women are pater for Machzor Shekel, therefore they're pater for Musaf, so too Kohanim. And Leviyim, if you want to say Leviyim are pater, Ktanim, let's say you say Machzor Shekel starts at age 20. So if you're not 20, you don't have to daven Musaf. 13 to 20. If you want to, you can. You don't have to daven Musaf. So what's the difference? Ask the Bar Yitzchak, ask other achronim. What's the difference? So you have to say, Rabbi Kiva Eger knew that question too. So you have to say that there are different elements of the carbon musaf. And that is, even if women are excluded from both elements, Kohanim Leviyim might only be excluded from one element. Who describes the elements? The stipler. The stipler in Zvachim. In Siman Dal, it says, maybe there's a difference. L'anias daiti akati efshar l'chalek, mikohanim v'leviyim l'nashim. Af al pi di'idi paturin mishkalim, even though kohanim v'leviyim and women are paturim mishkalim. So what's the difference? He says, dinire, de mitzvahs hakravas karbanos hatzibur, u mitzvah shkalim, trein yanim hei. Really, it's two elements. The chiyav hakravas karbanos tzibur, ramya al kol hatzibur, u bechalam gam kohanim v'leviyim. The chiyav to bring the karbanos tzibur is upon all males. Excuse me, all males, even kohanim leviim. The ilu yitzuyar, if there would be a situation, which is hard to fathom, but let's say there would be a situation where they would run out of machzor shekel, and there wouldn't be enough of the carbon of sibur. You know what? The kohanim leviim would have to supply it, because they're obligated to take care of the carbon of sibur. They don't have to give the machzor shekel for it, but they're also included in the chiyuv to bring it. Women don't even have that. Women don't even have that. Let's just continue. Vili tzur shashkolam ina maspika the carbon of sibur. But sibur is kakim ligvos l'tzorach mitzvahs karbanas. Efshar, they would be chayiv. V'din shkolam inyan acherhu. Shkolam is different. Even if there's plenty of money in the lishka for the carbon of sibur, every person has to give machzor shekel. And from that chiyuv, pater rachmanes kohanim leviim. That's it. They're pater from the, so let's call it the chiyuv gavra. There's the chi of gavra on each person to get machzor shekel, and the cholas are karbanos. It's the din of the karbanos for it to be brought. So kohanim leviim are only pater from part one, the chovas gavra, but they're chayiv in part two. Women are pater from part two also. Even if there's nobody bringing the karbanos sibur, women do not have the responsibility to do that. So that's the difference. Even though they're both pturos from machzor shekel, but what exactly does that mean? That is the discussion of the stipler in Zvachim in Siman Dalet. Halacha lemaisa, do women have to daven musaf? So that is a machlokas achronim, whether women have a chiyuv to daven musaf. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the machlokas. Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuvav, he quotes that the tzlach, the Noda Behuda says they're paturos, the Magen and Giborim says they're chayiv, bing nafkamina. According to Svardim, who hold that you don't make brachas on mitzvos that you're paturos from, women would not be allowed to daven musaf if they're paturos, Again, according to Ashkenazi custom, the Ramah and others, that, you know, they could daven Musaf, it's okay, they sing brachas on Zman Gromis. But Sfardim is more of an issue. Unless you say the only problem by Zman Gromis for Sfardim is the word Vitzivanu, which some sources say. You can't say Vitzivanu. By Musaf, you're not saying Vitzivanu. You're just davening Musaf. So even if you want to say that usually you can't make a bracha on a Zman Gromis, you still might be able to do it. Either way, that is all related to the issue of women and Machzaz HaShekel and Karbon HaSibur and Tfilas Musaf. Okay, we did the first line of the Mishnah. So we continue. So even though Nashim and Avadim are Pturo and Kananim are Pturos, we accept from them. Who else? Hanachri vahakusi, Nachrim and Kusim. Nachrim, non-Jews, Kusim, that nation in the times of the Nevi'im, times of the Malachim, that forcibly, they were scared, were called Geri Arayos. Because they were scared, and the question is, was it a true Geirus? Machlokas Tanoim, later on they retracted, but Kusim are always on the border. On the border of Jewish, not Jewish. So here, they're grouped with Nachrim. Nachrim v'kusim sheshaklu ein makabla mehen. You don't accept from them. If a non-Jew wants to get machzor shekel, okay, sorry. The ein makabla miyada, and also you don't accept from them. As we'll see, this next line has to be talking about kusim, because Nachrim for sure. Kine zavim v'kine zavos v'kine yoldos. Sets of birds from a zav or a zava or a yoledes, who are all chayavos to bring sets of birds after their time of tahara. Those are three of the four mechusrei kapara, zav, zav, yoledes, and mitzora. The chatos hashamos, and also we don't accept from them chatas and ashab. So all these karbanas we do not accept from the Nachrim for sure, but even the kusim, we'll see in the Gemara who exactly this line is talking about. Zeha klal. This is the rule, kol she nidar v'nidav mekabon miyadan. Whatever can be volunteered, nedar v'nidava, that you would accept from them, as we'll see, ola. Carbonous ola that are volunteered, that you could accept from a non-Jew. Kol she eino nidar v'lo nidav ein mekabon miyadan. We cannot accept other things, carbonos shel chova from them. Right, if a non-Jew wants to bring a carbon chatas or a carbon asham, you know, he cannot bring it, we do not accept it from them. V'chei mefurish ha'idei Ezra, and it's a pasuk in Ezra, sh'ne'amar, lo lachem v'lanu l'bnos bayis le'lokeinu. Right, when he was talking to the kusim, who wanted to participate in bayis sheni, he says, no, it's okay, we're doing this ourselves, and we do not have your help. Many of the Bali Musar, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes this in Parshas Bereishis, why is it on a hashkafic level that we cannot accept karbanos from the Umos HaOlam, even though Shlomo HaMelech described it as ki besi beis tefila yikare l'chol ha'amim. Right? It's for all. I mean, that's how it's described when Shlomo davened for after the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So what is the, why is it that they cannot? And the only carbon that they're allowed to bring is a carbon ola. Explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on Parshas Bereishis. V'hine, yesh machlokes yikare bein Yisrael la'amim. There's a major fundamental hashkafik machlokes between the Jews and other nations. Diladidon hanefesh vahaguf yesh lahem kesher sinteti. Says, we believe that the guf and the neshama could get along. And we could sanctify our physical bodies and our physical activities, our eating and our drinking. We could sanctify it, as the Pasuk said. The Ramban says, v'yifah pa'abav nishmas chayim. What does that mean? The Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a neshama into our guf. What does the Pasuk say? Nase Adam etzalmeinu kibbutzinu nase? So Rashi says what he says, but the Ramban says, guf and neshama, where we come together. We sanctify the physical. But the Umos HaOlam can understand that. The holiest person in their religion never gets married. Never gets married and doesn't talk too much and stays away from physical activities. That's Kedusha, that's holiness. We don't believe in that. Therefore, lefiha kishahutzrachu, and that's what he even says fascinatingly, kishahutzrachu lahamti lahem mechokek. That's why, when they wanted to come up with a god, hutzrachu levadosh nolat al yidei ruach, they had to say that there was an immaculate conception, because how could there be a god that comes from something physical? And therefore it has to be that it came from something not physical. That's where they came up with their story. Da'al yidei basar yi'efshar lahem litzayer sheyatsa kedusha mivalei chomer. Says, what about our ultimate savior? Besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the Pasuk say? Vayelech ish mibeis levi vayikach as bas levi, very physical human beings. Because we believe in human beings, they have Kedusha. And that's why, says Rabbi Yaakov, that Umos HaOlam could only bring Karbanas Ola. totally burned on the Mizbeach. There's no connection between this carbon and me. We both bring chatos and shlamim. A little bit is for God, a little bit is for me. It's all connected, the guf and the neshama, but that's reflected in this halacha, that we don't accept anything except for something that is bab neder ubenedava, specifically a karban ola. Okay, we continue. Says the Mishnah on top, the elu shachayavin bekelbon. We enter into the world of kelbon. What's a kelbon? So that is a machlokes in the Mishnah that we'll see later on. Kelbon is from the word kal bain. Kal, a little amount. Bain, in between. What does this mean? We'll see in a couple of minutes, but I'll show that this is a machlokes tanon. Rabbi Meir says, we'll see what his source is on Amud Beis, Be'ez Hashem. Rabbi Meir holds that adding on, a kelbon is a little bit of money you add on when you give the machzor shekel. Rabbi Meir says, you always add that on. Period. There's a pasuk that we'll see on Amud Beis. Din de oraisa. You have to give a little more than a machzor shekel. Everybody gives the same amount, more. So it's still equal. But a little bit more, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion, that it's a din de oraisa. We assume the other way. We assume that it's a din de rabbanan. That's what the other tanam hold. A din de rabbanan for what? The amount of money that the money changer is, that you're going to have to pay him in order to change, let's say you give a coin that's 2 shkalim, or a whole shekel. And he's going to have to change it to a machzor shekel. So that fee for the money changer, that is what the kelbon is. So the person who is giving the machzor shekel has to bear that burden. It's not fair that the Beis HaMikdash should have to pay the money changer all of these fees. So that's why it was accepted on a drabbanon level for that kelbon to be paid. But according to this, if you have exact change, you don't need the money changer. Right, you give machzor shekel, you don't need the, so that's why, that's going to be a nafkamina between the Bimeir and the Chachamim, whether you have to give it, if you just give a plain machzor shekel. So who is chayiv in kelbon? Here we go. The elu shachayiv in bekelbon. Levim, the Yisraelim, the Geirim, the Avadim Shachrarim. Levim, Yisraelim, Geirim, and free Avadim. They are all chayiv in kelbon. So here Levim are grouped with Yisraelim. Avalo, Kohanim, Vadashim, Avadim, Uktanim. But not these individuals, because after all, they don't have to give it in the first place. They're choosing to give it. The Beis HaMikdash is going to make some money off them. So the Beis HaMikdash could pay that one, could pay the kelbon for that one. But because they don't have to give it in the first place, they're pturos. Next, Hashokel al Yedei Kohen. What if I give a machzor shekel on behalf of someone who is putter? Al Yedei Kohen, al Yedei HaYisha, al Yedei HaEved, al Yedei Katan, putter. Also a putter. If the person whose pater gives it, they're pater from the kelbon. And if I give it on behalf of someone, I'm pater from the kelbon. Ve'im shakal al yadova al yad chaveiro, chayiv bekelbon echad. If I give it for myself and my friend, meaning I give one coin that is for two. So I have to give one kelbon. Because even though I'm giving for double, so really the basic business doesn't even have to change it, but really, I'm getting away with, it's not fair that everybody else who needs change is going to have to pay that fee and I'm not. So we have to give an equal amount. So when I pay for me and my friend, so I have chayiv bekelbon echad. I still have to give one kelbon. Rabbi Meir all our base kelbonos. As we said, Rabbi Meir holds that adding a kelbon is a din d'oraisa. Din d'oraisa. And that's why everybody who gives a machzor shekel has to give a kelbon too. The Dvar Hashkafa, I saw one of the Rebbe's, and the Margolius Hasha says, what's the message of kelbon? Whenever you do a mitzvah, you can't just do it exact. You just gotta do a little more than you have to. You always gotta be motzev a little bit. You can't just do it exactly what needs to be done, me'ikar adin. You gotta be a little extra. But here, everybody's doing a little extra, because it has to be equal. Ha'asha lo yarbe v'hada lo yamit. So you're right, this is the message, but it's the message that you might think that dafka here you can't give more. But if everybody gives equally more, then it's okay. And that's why that's how it would work here, that everybody gives the kelbon. Good, continue. Hano saint sela v'notel shekel chayiv shnei kelbonos. If somebody gives a sela, which is worth 2 shkalim, I give a coin worth 2 shkalim, and I take one, meaning I just need change. I gave one, I get half back. I'm chayiv in 2 kelbonos. So we'll see in the Gemara, it's a machlokas, whether that line is a follow-up of Rabbi Meir, sounds like, that it's 2, or it's the Rabban and Shita. We'll see. Hashokel al yad oni, va'al yad shcheino, va'al yad ben iro, pater. If I give machzor shekel on behalf of somebody else, I'm also pater from the kelbon. Because I'm being a nice guy. If I'm doing a chesed for somebody, so then the halach is that you do not have to give a kelbon for that. V'im hilvan chayev, but if I'm just lending them money, I'm not giving them a gift. I'm not giving them a matana, paying for them. But I am, you don't have money, so I'll give it, pay me back. So basically I'm their shliach then chayiv, then I have to pay the kelbon, because that's if, it is as if they are giving the, they are giving the money. Period. Last, second to last halacha. Ha'achin ashutafin. Brothers that are partners. We'll see what this means in the Gemara. Shechayovin bekelbon. There are sometimes, there are two different situations that brothers could be in, as we'll see. Did they split up the Yerusha yet or not? So whenever they are chayiv in kelbon, we'll see when that is, peturin mimaiser behema, then it has an inverse relationship with the chayiv of maiser behema. If they're going to be chayiv in kelbon, they're going to be pater from maiser behema. Ukisha chayiv in maiser behema, peturin in a kelbon. And the opposite is true. When they're going to be chayiv in maiser behema, they're going to be pater from kelbon. We'll have to see exactly what the case is in the Gemara. Vekama hi kelbon. Finishing up, what? How much is a kelbon? Ma'a kesa divri b'meir v'cham omer mechatzi ma'a. Okay, different amount of financial value to the kelbon. Good, let's continue. Says the Gemara, afal pisha amru v'chulu, the first line of the Mishnah had said, even though nashim avadim en ketanim do not have to give, we accept it from them. We accept it from them. So, what is that mashma? We accept it from them. Ha'litvoa ain't tovin, but we don't ask them for it. We accept it, but we wouldn't demand it from them. Hacha at amar tovin, v'hacha at amar ein tovin. So our Mishnah, this Mishnah right here is mashma that we're not toveya them, while earlier, the Mishnah right before this was mashma, we are toveya them, we're not mamashkein them, but we are toveya. So as the Gemara said yesterday, kan b'shehevi b'sairis, v'kan b'shalohevi b'sairis. There's really, as we saw yesterday, three different stages, according to the Tikkun Chavitin's way of reading the Gemara. Under 13, we don't ask them at all. Right, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. If they're not 13 years old yet, let's say they're 12 years old, they want to give, so we accept it from them. From 13 to 20, so then we ask them for it, but we don't demand, we're not mamashkin. And finally, at age 20, that's when we're mamashkin them, that's when it goes into full force. We did mention the machlokas rishonim yesterday, in terms of me'ikar adin, when does the mitzvah start? Right, so according to that Tikkun Chavitin, Pashas, it starts at 13. And Pashas of the Gemara. We don't demand it of them with Mamashkinim, but we ask them at age 13. Right? Doesn't that mean that the mitzvah starts at 13? Or do you say no? We ask them, but if they're not. The mitzvah really starts at 20. That's when we, full force, we go and we take a mashkon from them. So that is a machlokas rishonim, as we mentioned. The Rambam and the Ramban both hold it starts at 13, like all other mitzvahs. While the Sefer HaChinuch that we read yesterday, and the Bar Tanura and others, say that it starts at age 20. That is the machlokas mishonim. There's an interesting ha'ara that the Ksos has in Simin Reish Lamed Hey. You know what he proves from our Gemara? That a katan is allowed to give machzor shekel? Is a katan allowed to make kinyanim? Katan can't be machner konis. Remember what the Gemara says in Sukkah? The Gemara says, make sure on the first day of Sukkot, if you're going to give your child the lulav to shake, make sure you use it first. Before you give it to him. Why? Because if you give it to him, you can give it to him. But he can't give it back to you halachically. Why? Based on, let's say, what Tosfos holds in a few places in Shas, the concept of Das Acheres Makneh, a katan can own something if I push it into his reshus halachically. Das Acheres Makneh, so if I give it or if I sell it. So a katan can own it to Araisa, but once he gets it, he is not halachically strong enough to give it back to me. So I better use the lulav myself, because I need lachem. Once I give it to him, it's too late. So that is what the Gemara says in Sukkah. Says, ask the Ksos. So what's going on here? Machzor shekel, it has to be from funds that are public. Right? The Yechidim donated to the Beis HaMikdash, and it turns into public funds. The katan, we accept from a katan. How is a katan allowed to do this? The katan can only be koneh d'rabbanan. It can't be koneh d'araisa. Says the Ksos, among other rais, you know what you see from here? A kinyan d'rabbanan sometimes could have effects on a d'araisa level. You find that. Where else do you see this? Maimit shlashton. Maimit shlashton is a kinyan d'rabbanan, mentioned in Maseches Gittin. You have all the parties there. You have the malved, the loved, and the third party. And the malved says, I hereby give over the rights of collection to this third person. This third person, you're allowed to do that. It's a kinyan d'rabbanan. But it works on a daraisa level in terms of whose money it is and who has the rights of collection. So the Kso says, this is another example. You see from this guy, Hechi Matzi Ketanim, Masri Litzibur Yafeh, Ha Pu'utos Ein Matanasan, Ela Midivrei Sofrim, Ela Al Karchach, Kivan Demidurabanan, Havi Kinyin, Mahani Nami Lidaraisa. That's the Kso says, Simen Reish, Lamed Hei, Os Dalet. Important hara of the Ksos. Again, the Rabbanan's affecting the Arisa is a topic that we've touched on many times in the past. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara now, Hanachri v'hakusi v'chulu amarebi ba. So what does the Mishnah say? Non-Jews are excluded. They can't get machzor shekel. So amarebi ba tipater kamada amar kusi kanachri. This Mishnah seems to be going like the opinion that kusim are treated like nachra, meaning the kusim are geirei arayos. They're not geirei emes. We don't assume that they their motivation, their commitment was true. The ispalgin, because we have a machlokas. Kusi kanachri divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the kusim are like non-Jews. Rav Shmuel Gamliel or kusi ki yisrael l'chol davar. Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds they're like yisrael l'chol davar. So isn't our Mishnah like the first opinion? The fact that we do not accept karbanos from them, or machzor shekel from them, doesn't that show that they're like non-Jews? So I'm Rebbe Elazar, or as the Yerushalmi says, I'm Rebbe Lazar, masnisan binachrim habikusim lo. No, the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, zeakla, you don't accept karbanos, that's only referring back to nachrim. Hakusim lo. No, kusim though would be able to bring karbanos. That line of zeakla can refer to kusim. Says the Gemara, but 1 second, this is a continuation of the line first. Vitani Kane, and we even have a brisa that supports this. Adam Larabos Esageirim. Adam, the word Adam, Kiakrim Mikem, beginning of a Yikra, includes Geirim, and any meaning, and Kusim are Geirim. Mikem Lotias Amumrim, and Mikem from them is an exclusionary word to exclude a Mumar, a heretic, is not allowed to bring a carbon. So you see that they're included, so kusim are included. So when the Mishnah says that karbanos, who's excluded from karbanos, that's only referring back to Akum. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Masisa pliga rabalazar, doesn't make sense. Look at the previous line of the Mishnah. What was the previous line of the Mishnah? You can't accept kine, zavin, zavos, and yoldos from them. Who's the them there have to be talking about? It has to be talking about kusim. Right? Emakabu miyadam. Zkan kine, zavin, vizavos. Kine, yoldos. V'chiyesh kine, zavin, vizavos, benachrim. What, the non-Jews, can they bring sets of karbanos for a zav? They don't have tum and tara. So that line, looking back in the Mishnah, that line of kinei zav v'zavos has to be referring to kusim. So you're going to tell me, el aresha b'nachram v'seif of a kusim? What, the first line of the Mishnah says both, that they can't give machzor shekel. The second line of the Mishnah is referring to kinei zav v'zavos, that has to be referring to kusim. You're now going to tell me the third line of the Mishnah is only referring to nachrim? That the second line was referring to only kusim and then nachrim? Says the Gemara, yes. Kenu, reisha b'nachrim v'seiva b'kusim, even though it seems somewhat unusual, and it's a little dachuk to read it that way, but that's what you can say it means, and therefore you are not backed into a corner to assume that kusim are kenachrim. You don't have to assume that the Mishnah is taking a stand on that issue, whether kusim are geirei arayos or geirei emes. Okay? We continue. Period. Next topic. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Bitchila, ein makalamehem lo davar mesuyam, velo davar she'ena mesuyam. Bitchila, what does bitchila mean? So now let's go with Rov Rish Mefarshim and what the Tiklan Chavtin also says. Betchila, originally, the Tiklan Chavtin says, when they first started building the Beis HaMikdash, they did not accept anything from the non-Jews because, well, the Ovdei Kochavim, not anything that was easily identifiable, Davar Mesuyam, or Davar She'ena Mesuyam. Why? Because you didn't want to have them involved. Ubasov. And at the end, why did you want not to have them involved? Because you wanted to make sure that the Jews brought everything they could. And therefore, if you accept from all sources, then there won't be as much pressure on the people who are there. So originally, they did not accept anything. Ubasof, but at the end, mekabuman darvashayna mesuyam. As long as it's not mesuyam, it's not easily identifiable as belonging to so-and-so, you accepted it. But you did not accept any Dover Mesuyam from it. Why not? Look at the Tiklan Chavatin in the second column on the fourth line. Dover Chashuv Shenikar V'nira Be'en Ein Makalam Yadam. Why? Number one, to Genai you. It's a Genai. In the Beis HaMikdash, this guy's going to be able to say, oh, that's mine. Right? The Beis HaMikdash couldn't do it without me. It's a guy. It's somewhat of a disgrace. It's in bad taste. Va'od shemisparin bo. And number two, they're going to brag about it. So number one, mitzad the base of Mikdash is not nice. And number two, they're going to brag about it, that they gave something to the base of Mikdash. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, originally we didn't accept anything. Later on we changed to accept we changed to only accept the davar she'ena mesuyam. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar, bein betchila bein basof. Rish Lakish says, no, we don't accept anything from them. Period. Mesuyam or Ena Mesuyam, we don't accept anything from them because we check our sources of what's being brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Keep in mind that the Rambam here has a totally different shot of Tchila and Sof. We're going to go with the pshat that we just mentioned. But the Rambam has a totally different shot of what Tchila and Sof is. If you look in the Rambam on Tchila and Sof, the Rambam says in Ilchos Matnas Aniyim and Perachas Alachaches, Tchila means Lechadchila and Sof means Bidyeved. Doesn't mean different times in history. It means originally we wouldn't accept it, but the Evan, once they brought it, we might accept. That's a totally different way of reading the Gemara. Tchila and Sof, meaning Lechadchila, but the Evan, not at different times in history. But either way, that is what the Rov Rishonim say, what Rov Mefarshim say, and what the Rambam says. Let's continue a little more, and then I'll go back to something, hopefully from above. Says the, so we have Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whether we never accept anything from them, Reish Lakish, or Rabbi Yochanan says originally we didn't accept anything, but later on we accept a davar she'eino misuyam. Says the Gemara now, Masisan pligi al Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah, the following Brisa seems to be against Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because the Brisa says, Ein mekabla mehen hektish v'nedava lebedek habayis. You don't accept from them hektish or nedava for bedek habayis. You don't accept from them. Period. It's easy. Period. Rabbi Yochanan says you accept the davar she'enu mesuyam from them. So what's the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from this brisa? So two answers. Petar la for either answer it. Bein betchila bein basof ubilvad she davar she'enu mesuyam. Maybe the difference is that Mishnah is talking about you can't accept anything ever. Maybe that's talking about a davar mesuyam. Rabbi Yochanan says you can accept a davar she'enu mesuyam. Maybe that's one answer. Or patale, our girsa, the correct girsa is bitchila, patale bitchila, or when it says it's usher to accept anything, that's the original halacha. Shafila ma'osav yilachim yamamelach. Even money, which is totally not mesuyam, then you throw to yamamelach. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan will learn this brisa either talking about the original time or talking about a davar mesuyam. Fine. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Amar, what did Reish Lakish say? Bein betchilo, bein basof, ein mekabla mehen lo davar mesuyam. Reish Lakish is more charif against them. He says he never accepted anything. Interesting to wonder whether that came from Reish Lakish's own background. As we know, the famous stories of Reb Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan in Maseches Bava Metzia about Reb Yochanan helping, being makariv Reish Lakish. And, helping Reish Lakish marry his own sister, right? It's interesting to connect the machlokos between them to their past histories. Either way, says the Gemara, so Reish Lakish holds we never accept anything from them. Not even a davar she'eino mesuyam. Masnisam pligi Reb Shimon Lakish. The Brisa is against Reish Lakish too. Ditani. The following Brisa says, Hakol shavin she'einodrin vinidarin. Everybody agrees that they could be noder and nidar. This is a Mishnah in Arachin, right? The Mishnah in Arachin says that the non-Jews can be noder, they can make promises, noder, and they can be nidar, they can be objects of promises. So, what does that mean? That means they can be noder, it sounds like you can accept things from them. Right? Reish Lakish says you can't accept anything from them for Bedek Habayis. We said earlier that they can bring Karbonas Ola. Fine, that's true. But here we're talking about, can they give donations to the Beis HaMikdash? So, it sounds like from this Mishnah that they can. It says they can be noder. So, the Gemara says, no, Patala Ola. No, that means a carbon ola. When it says no there, it means they can bring a carbon ola. And even Reish Lakish agrees to that. Fedegar, nicha, nodrin ola. Fine, that explains the verb nodrin. Nidarin ola. What about nidarin? It says non-Jews can be no there and nidar. What's the case of nidarin where there are objects? So the Gemara answers, ela. Our girsa is, kishamar Yisrael hare alai ola, v'shamar nachmi v'yamar mashamar ze alai. But if you look at the Tekken Chazin, it's the opposite girsa. He says, a non-Jew says, hare alai ola, I hereby promise to bring an ola, and the Jew says, me too. So that's an example where the non-Jew is kind of the nidar, is the object. The Jew is the active player saying, I'll agree to what he said. I will also agree to bring a carbon ola. That's the case that's being referred to by nidar in the Mishnah there in Maseches Arachin. Good. We continue relating to this machlokas. Is it really true? What, again, the Machlokas says, Rabbi Yochanan says, you originally never accepted anything from them for Bedek Abayis, but later on we accepted items that are not distinguishable, that are not easily identifiable. And Reish Lakish says, we never accepted anything. So Gemara says, 1 minute, Ve'eino mevi imo nesachim? Rhetorical question? 1 second, we know they can bring a carbon ola. Along with the carbon ola are libations. Wine and flour are brought with the carbon ola. Does a non-Jew, when he brings a carbon ola, does he have to bring nesachim with it? Sure he does. What happens to leftover nesachim money? Umoser nesachim, or even items, you sell it. Moser nesachim, lo likli shares inun. Doesn't leftover money for nesachim go to clay shares? Nimsa, maybe, davar misuyam. So what does it come out? Mr. Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, you say that a non-Jew cannot be the source for bedek abayis, for temple upkeep monies? But what do you mean? A guy, a non-Jew, has to bring nesachim. Leftover nesachim are transferred into money for bedek abayis. So you see, he does bring it. Kasha. So he answers the Gemara. Hesiv Reb Yossi bar Rebbe Bon. Vahatanina. Let's go to another question. What do you mean? What about that same Mishnah Arachin? Ne'erachin v'orchin. Lo lebedek abayis inun. What about the case where it says a non-Jew could be marich or nerach? So you see, beferish, that he could give to bedek abayis. He could be marich. He could give a value to bedek abayis. So what is Reish Lakish going to do with that Mishnah? Heich ma da'at omar taman. What are you going to say there? Why does it work? Lashamayim hu miskavein. Because really, what is the non-Jew thinking when he gives money to the Beis HaMikdash? What does he think it's going to go to? Pasha is going to think he wants to give a sacrifice. Give a karbon. So he has gavoha in mind. He has karbonos in mind. Umealeyen hein bo'in lebedek abayis. And memela, we switch it to bedek abayis. Reish Lakish would agree that's okay. You know what the only problem is? Where a non-Jew wants to give something to bedek abayis, and it goes to bedek abayis. Where his kavan is mekuyam totally, that's what Reish Lakish says is no good. But if he thinks A, and we're going to use it for B, that's okay. Because it's not connected to him. So, kein ata marafacha, so to here. In the case, we just explained the Mishnah about Ne'erachin and Orchin. So too by the Nesachim. By the Nesachim, he wants it to be brought as a libation on the Mizbeach. But if it's not used for that, so it goes to Bedek Abayis, that's okay. Kenat Amar Afacha. Lashamayim u'miskavein. U'me'alein ein ba'in le'Bedek Abayis. Right? So therefore, it is not direct, and therefore, it is allowed. Period. Good. Just one thing, a point I forgot to mention. I didn't mention earlier, which also relates to a topic that we discussed yesterday, and that is, we mentioned yesterday, Machlokes Tanoim, whether Kivrei Akum are Metameh or not. The Uram says not at all, Bali Tosfos say, yes, totally Metameh, and we saw the Rambam is the middle Shita. Kivrei Akum are only Metameh, B'mago B'maso, and not B'ohel. Why should they be different? So the Gemara gives the Pasuk, Adam Kiyamas B'ohel. Atem Kruyim Adam, Ve'ein Heim Kruyim Adam. Am Yisrael are called Adam. And other nations are not called Adam, and therefore they are excluded from certain levels of Tumah. The same source is quoted here, as we just said, up above, back on Amon Aleph, where it said, Adam l'rabos es hagerim, mikem los yes hamumrim. Adam is referring to Jews. Rav Soloveitchik has a very interesting ha'ara, where he's really explaining a Tosfos, and that is, the Tosfos in Masechet Baba Kama on Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara Lamed Ches on Aleph Baba Kama tells us, Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Akim Osik Batorah Shuka Kohen Gadol. How do I know if a non-Jew is Osik Batorah? He's like the Kohen Gadol. He's amazing. Asher Yaso Osam Ha'adam Achai Bahem. It doesn't say Kohenim Levim Yisrael. It says Adam Halamata Shafilu Nachri Osik Batorah. How are you Kohen Gadol? Okay, how does this fit in with the halacha? They're not allowed to teach a non-Jew Torah. Good, not for now. But either way, that's the Gemara Baba Kama. Also appears elsewhere as well. That a goy that's osik b'torah, it's okay, because it says Hashem yasa osam ha'adam b'chai bohem. Asks Tosfos there for 1 minute. But we know from our Gemara, we know from the Gemara about Tum and Tara, that Adam refers to Jews. So how could this Gemara say ha'adam? Oh, that means everybody, even Uwasa Olam. Explains Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says there's a difference between Adam and Ha'adam. Jews are called Adam. Umos Ha'olam can also be called Ha'adam. That's what Tosfos says. Okay, Diyaka, one letter. Cesar of Soloveitchik. What's the difference? He's Alder Drush. That he says, the Etzleinu, he says, there is a Chashivas to every single Jew. Even the Stam Pintel Yid, the Adam, every Adam on the street has chashivas. Ma she'enkein other, by other nations, heim eina ma'arichim es pshutei ha'am. They value the special people, the ha'adam, with the ha'ayidiyah, the special, unique individuals. But to believe in selam alokim of every single individual, that is a uniquely Jewish concept, and that's the message of Adam versus ha'adam. Right, giving life to that diakal in Tosfos related to Adam and Ha'adam. Okay, we continue. Ma'avala is taken out. Reb Shimon Malakash Pater La, what's the Svara for Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish says we are not allowed to accept any monies for Bedek Habayis from non-Jews. Why? He says based on the pasuk we quoted earlier. Lo lachem v'lanu livnos bayis lelokenu. Period. Reb Chizkia Amar Reb Simon, Sha'al me'ata, ask from now, remember we had Sha'al 2 days ago? In Yerushalmi words, Sha'al means, I know this, and I'm convinced, I know I'm right, but I just want to see if you believe me too, and you agree with it. That's what Sha'al means in Yerushalmi language. Sha'al me'ata, ein makalam answer, if you say that they cannot contribute to Bedek Habayis, that they cannot contribute to anything. Ein makalam mehem la'amas hamayim, ulechomo se'ir, to the aqueducts that go through the Azara, or the walls of the city, u'migdalosel, or the towers. Al shame, based on it says, v'lachem ein chelek v'chulu. Right, so therefore they're excluded totally, and they cannot contribute. Interesting to think about, based on this halacha, what about if you look at all the stories in Sefer Malachim? Shlomo HaMelech had non-Jewish sources for the Beis HaMikdash. He got trees from here, and money from here, and spices from here. See, if the halacha is that you cannot take that without a once-in-a-lifetime. A harash shah. Or was that an exception to the rule? Was there some type of kashering process in the middle? But if, you know, if non-Jewish sources are not allowed, so then how did he do it? Again, if you look in the Rambam, that same Rambam that we quoted earlier about non-Jewish sources, according to at least one girsa of the Rambam has another lashon. Goy shehisnadiv lebedek habayis. A non-Jew, let's say a non-Jew comes to the Beis HaMikdash, here's a check for $50 million. What does the Beis HaMikdash do? Ain makalim enotchila. You have to reject it. I'm sorry, you know, this is... thank you so much. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You should give to charity, but for our temple, you know, it's got to be a Jew. Just like for your temples, maybe you have to have, you know, your religion, you know, support it. But that's the rule. In our temple, you know, ain makalim. If you took it, you don't have to give it back. So if it's $50 million, I don't know, maybe we'll, like, rely on the b'di'evit. V'imlachu imenu ain machzir lo. Okay. But if it's something that is very easily noted, kagon kora o even machziran lo, kadesh lo yehlen davar misuyam b'mikdash. It can't be something easily identified. But then he says, avala beis haknesses mekalamehan lechadchila. But for a shul, you could take it lechadchila. Doesn't have the same standards as beis haMikdash. So if anybody not Jew wants to give money to a shul, that's fine, says the Rambam. Husha Yomar, and he quotes the pasuk. Question is that a real a proper girsa? Either way, that's the girsa that we have in the Rambam. But that is for a shul, the difference between a shul and the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam adds that in. Okay, we continue. The next five lines are taken out by most mefarshim. We'll read it, but this is the part in parentheses.
Fine.
So we're going to get to all of that again. That's why the girsa is taken out. But we have as follows: Masnisa the Rebbe Meir, so or my time of the Rebbe Meir. What's the reason, Rebbe Meir? As we saw in the Mishnah, Rebbe Meir holds kelbon is a din d'araisa. Da'am Rebbe Meir. Kishem sheshaklo Torah, just like giving a machzah shekel is a mitzvah d'araisa, kach kelbono Torah. So too, the added extra little bit of a kelbon is also a mitzvah d'araisa. Kesav Rebbe Meir, v'nosein shiklo shalim shuchai b'kelbon. Even if you give your shekel without needing any change, you have to give a kelbon. And if you give a whole one, so you have to give two kelbonos. Da'am Rebbe Meir, because Rebbe Meir says, what's his svara? Because of this, k'min matbea shel esh, hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitachas kisei kvodo, when Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu the machzah shekel, he showed him a coin of fire from under his kisei hakavod, ve'her'eyu l'moshe va'amar lo, and he said, zeyitnu, kazeyinu, exactly like this one, you always have to give it. What does that mean? That's the source for Rabbi Meir. Explain the Mefarshim. The biblical shekel was worth a little more than the later shekelim. So what he was emphasizing to Moshe Rabbeinu was that in history, you always got to add on a little bit. To be exactly like this one. Zeh Yitznu. Rashi points out, ala Torah, whenever the word zeh is used, it always means pointing. You can point to it, because zeh means clarity. This. Right, what does the pasuk say by Ben Soramora? Bineinu zeh Soramora. This son of ours. That's the Gemara learns out from there, that the parents of Ben Soramora can't be blind. Because they have to say zeh, this one. Zeh always means that. Hachodesh hazeh lachem in Parshas Bo. What does Rashi quote? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. It's points to the moon. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. The Gemara Maseches Menachos says, Moshe Rabbeinu was having a difficult time with the menorah. Hashem showed him a picture of the menorah. Zeh. Zeh always means clarity, able to point. And that's what happened here also. Mabeish al-Ish, it says Zeh, and that's the makar for Rabbi Meir. Good, let's continue, and then we'll see at the end if there's time for one other ha'ara here. Nasan sela lito shekel chayiv shnei kalbonos. The Mishnah said, if you give a sela, which is worth two, to give two kalbonos, you chayiv two kalbonos. So what we said, who is that line going according to? If you give a whole one for two, you have to give two kalbonos. Amr belazer to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar says, oh, that's only Rabbi Meir's opinion. Why? Because Rabbi Meir is the one that says you automatically have to give a kelbon. To Rabbi Meir, Omar Echad Shekel Shehu No Sein, the Echad Sela Shehu No Tel. Titania, Elo Chayavan Bekelbon Bechulu, Kelbon Echad Meir Omer, Beis Kelbonos. Rabbi Elazar is the first opinion. That line in the Mishnah that says you have to give two kelbonos is obviously Rabbi Meir's opinion, because he holds kelbon as Daraisa. Umar Rav, or on the side it says, V'Rav Amar no Divriya Koli. It's really Divriya Kol. That line of the Mishnah could go according to everybody. Even according to us who hold that Kelbon is Drabanan. We take out the next three words. Echad Shekel Shehu No Sein, Echad Shekel Shehu No Tel. You have to give a Kelbon for the Shekel. You give a whole Sela. That's worth two half Shekels. So, first, he has to change it, take a shekel out to give. So that's one kelbon. When he gives it back, that's two services he's doing for you. So if he's doing two services for you, that's why even the Rabbanon would agree to give two kelbonos. But it's still in the realm of the Rabbanons. Rabbi Meir would even add on an extra one. Rabbi Meir, Vechel Divrei Torah, you also take out those three words, because we're going to have it in a second right now. Ol Daite de Rav. So Rav holds Gimel Kelbonos Inun. There are really three kelbonos possible. The Rabbanon only hold of two. What, the two for the money changers, one for taking, one for giving. Rabbi Meir holds three, because besides those two, there's the one for the mitzvah d'oraisa. Also, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchak, B'shem Rav, Shlosho Kalbonos Inun. Echad Shekel Shu No Sein, Echad Shekel Shu No Tel, that everybody agrees to. The Echad Lidvar Torah, that's the din d'oraisa of Rabbi Meir. Period. So that's the discussion of Kelbon. Right, in terms of what the kelbon is and how much one has to give. Now we get up to the last section of the Mishnah for today. But even just before we do that, just one hara, just Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on the Zeh HaDavar has a beautiful thought at the beginning of Parshas Matos. We mentioned this in Parshas here, I think 5 years ago or so, where Rabbi Yaakov says that Rashi points out at the beginning of Matos that all other Nevi'im were misnabe with Ko Amar Hashem, while Moshe Rabbeinu was misnabe with Zeh HaDavar. That's why he says Zeh HaDavar Shezim Hashem, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask Rabbi Yaakov, why Dafka is that limud said in the beginning of Parshas Matos, when we talk about Nidarim? Right, why is that? We could have learned out much earlier in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu has been saying Zeh many times earlier in the Torah. Why Dafka here? So explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Right here, what do you learn from Parshas Nidarim? That a person could create certain realities. I can make a nether that I'm not allowed to eat hamburgers. I could create a reality, and it's halachically binding. That's pretty amazing. One might think, if that's true, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu also made some things up when he told over the Torah to us. After all, if you could create things with your dibur, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu also did it. That's why Dafkin, Parshas Nedarim, says, Zeh HaDavar. This is exactly what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe told Klal Yisrael. Not one iota less, not one iota more. Zeh HaDavar Dafka learned out in that context at the beginning of Parshas Matos. Good. Okay, we continue. Ha'achen Hashutafen. Remember the Mishnah said that there is an inverse relationship between brothers and their chiyuv in kelbon and their chiyuv in meiser behema. What's the rule going to be? Let's just say it outside first, then we'll see it inside. The secret is going to be that meiser behema, only one person has to give. Partners do not have to give meiser behema. And lekuchot, partners, or specifically, we'll see. Oh, let's see it inside. No, let's see it inside, then we'll explain it. Ha'achin v'ashutaf en shechayav en bekelbon v'torim ma'aser behema. What's the first sad? When are brothers chayiv in kelbon, but they're pater from ma'aser behema, b'shechilku v'chazru v'nishtafu. If they split up the Yerusha, and then they became partners. So in that case, they're pater from ma'aser behema. That's a special xeris akasiv. Partners, if two people own an animal, they are pater from giving ma'aser behema. But in that circumstance, it's their own machzor shekel, right? They split up the money, and now it's theirs. So they have to give kelbon. Because if you give kelbon on your own behalf, then you have to give machzor shekel. You have to give kelbon. The opposite, shechayavin b'maiser behema u'patermin kelbon. What's that case? B'shalochilku. If the brothers have not split up the estate yet, and they are giving maiser behema or machzor shekel from the estate, then it's the opposite. They're chayiv in maiser behema. Why? Because they're not partners. It's one person. It's as if it's the father still. So you're chayiv in maiser behema to give the tenth animal. But you're patur from kelbon, because as if it's the father giving on their behalf. What we learn in the Mishnah? If somebody gives on somebody else's behalf, then they are patur from kelbon. Good. Finishing up, Amr Ebelezer, Vehensha, 2 days. Number one, Vehensha, Chalko Gedeim, Kenega, Tiashim, Vetiashim, Kenega, Gedeim. When does this apply? If the Yerushin split up different items. This one took goat, this one took rams, and vice versa. Avalam Chilku, Gedeim, Kenega, Gedeim, Utiashim, Kenega, Tiashim. But if everybody got a portion of everything, Hu Chalko, Misha HaRishona, then we look at it as if this is what they were always supposed to have. Meaning, Yesh Breira. Breira, remember one of our fun topics? That whenever something becomes cleared up in the future, we could see the roots of that clarity in the past. So this is an example. Once every brother gets his Yerusha, do we say that really this has been his Yerusha from the second that the father has died? So the first day here says yes. Rebbeleza says yes. And therefore, if they each got a portion of everything, we would say Yesh Breira, and therefore they would be considered split up originally. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan argues, because we don't hold that way. Afilu chilko gediyim k'neged gediyim v'tiyashim k'neged tiyashim, even if everybody got a portion, kilaku chosein, they are considered buyers who determine a meiser. And their pater, why? Ein breira. We don't say that it goes back, the chiluk, even retroactively. When the brothers split up, they're like buyers, and they're pater from meiser behema, because they are considered partners. Ke'ahu detaninan, like it says, taman over there, halakuach. If anything is bought, v'shenita lo b'matana, you have an animals that are bought or given as a gift, pater mi meiser behema. They're considered lekuchos, so they're considered shutfin. Either way, they're going to be pater from meiser behema. Okay, this was the major discussion of kelbon. We have a little bit more about Hashem on the next daf as we finish in the first and get into the second parak. And Beis Hashem, we will continue.